We've really transformed the gallery's activity space, the studio, into this extraordinary den of superstition. This is part of the gallery's exhibition Dark Heart, which opens in conjunction with the Adelaide Festival in 2 weeks' time. And what we have is an installation that hopefully delights and confuses you and encourages you to explore your own creativity, because the most important element of the studio is that you get to make art in response to all the things you've seen.
It's probably fair to say that edgy art is often the most talked about art. Was there a little bit of consideration when you started to think about, okay, we're going to do a darker side of lifestyle, we're going to do superstition? Was there any worry there, or was it this will be something fun and get people talking?
I think that our audiences, regardless of they're young or old, are curious and have a level of sophistication that we should never deny. And this exhibition does look into the darkness of some elements of our lives, but you have to look into the darkness to see the light. You have to look into big, serious issues to understand their scope and their parameters. Many of the artists tackle things from the environment to politics to interpersonal relationships, so there's so many different facets of this exhibition, and Julia has chosen superstition.
Julia Robinson is the Adelaide-based artist that is the creator of what we see in front of her at the studio. Julia, are you a superstitious person to start off with?
I didn't consider myself so, but the more I read about them, the more I sort of wondered and worried about the ones that I was reading that I was breaking all the time. And in making a lot of the work, the baking of the bread tiles particularly, I broke every single superstition. So it's quite amazing I wasn't carried away by demons, because I was doing everything wrong in the baking of it.
Now, you previously to doing this exhibition had a bit of an interest in the darker side of life. Did this lead you to coming to the point of doing superstition, or did it all just seem to fall into place?
It fell into place really beautifully, but I do have a great abiding interest in the occult, the supernatural. I've done a lot of work about witchcraft and the afterlife and death. It's very much a focus, very much the heart of my practice. So when I was presented with the opportunity to do the studio, one of the things that most struck me was the interactivity of the space, and that naturally led me to superstition, because superstition is such an interactive process that, you know, you are the one touching things, engaging things, doing things in a certain ritualistic way. And so it seemed like a very natural fit. So although it still has that kind of core of there are a lot of dark superstitions that forebode death or ill fortune, it seemed a very natural fit in terms of the level of interaction that I was going to be bringing to this space.
When you look at something that might be on the fringe of a lot of people's beliefs, how difficult or how much did it play in your mind that you have to make it accessible for most of the public and juggle those two balls, I guess, of keeping it superstitious but not scaring people away?
I guess that is an interesting thing of, like, not scaring people away, because if you do a lot of research into superstition, so much of it is dangerous superstition and warnings and bad things can happen and spelling misfortune. But I don't know, I felt that there would be any number of levels that people could engage with the space, that even to the point where the big black embracing padded walls, I felt could be a comforting, embracing element in the space that would draw you in to its kind of heart. But equally, it could be interpreted as a more negative, threatening, foreboding thing. So I felt that there would be, in all the works I hoped, an element that could be both positively and negatively understood, and that people would engage with it on whatever level they felt.
When you look through your gallery, the centrepiece here, no doubt, is the fireplace that you've created. Tell me a bit about the construction efforts that went into that.
It was a massive project. It took about four times longer than I thought when I undertook it. I wanted it to be the hub of the space, the hearth that everything would gather around, all the walls as well, the participants and the tables would gather around it. It's a simple construction in the sort of elemental basic modelling of it, but then I had to bake 150 salt dough bread tiles, so I started that in October when it was cooler, and I just baked every single night, and I tried to get, you know, 5-6 bread tiles done a night, because it takes hours to cook, and then I would, you know, they would start cracking and I have to cook other ones, or so it was a very long process baking them, and I'm not at all a domestic kitchen person, so I've never used an oven so much in my life in that work.
What was the reasoning behind that? Was it that Hansel and Gretel sort of feature, or was it just something you thought this will make a completely different way of constructing it?
I mean, there is that fairy tale element that people have picked up on it, but the primary reason was bread and fire being like two staples of life, like two things that keep us alive. There are superstitions about, you know, hanging a piece of bread on the wall to prevent bad spirits entering the house. So really, really strange things like that kind of led me to think about the use of the bread in that way.
When you mentioned that, I've never heard of superstitions about bread. Are they fairly common?
There's lots of them, yeah. I've researched a lot of them, and there's things like, you know, you shouldn't turn bread on its side or witches can enter the house, or you should always give away the first piece priests, there's other superstitions saying you shouldn't give away the first piece, you shouldn't put it on the floor, you shouldn't smell it fresh from the oven or your nose will get eaten by worms.
Did you start to worry about the mentality of generations before us when you started to research some of these?
I mean, I think I'm always kind of thinking about that, but I think really what is at the heart of that is the human impulse, that we're all driven to that, that it doesn't matter what generation you come from, we have this naturally occurring impulse to try and control our surroundings and to try and predict what's going to happen and change our future and change our fortune. So I think it's that sort of more interesting to me in that sense, that it feels a very elemental human thing. Some of them have a very logical sensibility to them, like don't walk under a ladder. Obviously that's a dangerous thing. Some of them are so ludicrous you wonder where they came from, and it was just paranoia, I guess. So
as you research the different topics of what you've now created, was there any that really connected with you that you maybe had a chill run up your back from?
I mean, I think any of the domestic ones I particularly kind of related to, and because I do have a sort of deep interest in the kind of in death and the afterlife and mortality, anything that predicted death, I guess, I sort of started to be more aware of, you know, like don't drop a broom or there'll be a death in the family. But if you actually study superstition, like 90% of them predict deaths. And really, if you think about death as an inevitability, it's not really that amazing that it's predicting it. It's kind of obvious. But I guess those ones I particularly kind of related to was the ones about foretelling the death of someone or something bad happening.
And did you adhere to any of your superstitions while you were setting this up?
No, I did. I mean, I did everything wrong. But you know what? You couldn't live your life if you followed it, because you couldn't do certain things on certain days at certain times of the day. You'd have to sweep the floor in a certain way. I don't have time for that. I mean, I just think this is like, a lot of those things were birthed from eras when people were very homebound, women in particular very homebound, and so they probably did obsess about every little thing, and I don't have the energy to do that. So I read about them and I worry about them for a few minutes and I think, you know what, I've done it all before and nothing bad's happened, so I'm safe.